pew. Hallelujah. Am I good? Praise God. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Y'all leave it? You know, I was thinking about when I was looking at this and I was seeking the Lord, I was reminded years ago there was a science fiction movie. It was called Close Encounter of the Third Kind. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and how he desires to have a fresh encounter with the Spirit of God. And when I was looking at this, in Acts chapter 4, we find the account of John and Peter. John and Peter was Jesus' right hand and Jesus' left hand. They were the two that was closest to Jesus. They were there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came in, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But we find that now they're facing persecution for the name of Christ. They're facing some adversity. And if you look with me in Acts chapter 4, begin to read with verse number 23. The Word of God says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of the servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The king of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and with the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word, but by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the holy child Jesus." And I want to focus our attention on verse number 31 today. And he said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I want you to recognize in this one verse, God uses they four times. And when he is using this, he is saying it's all inclusive, it's everyone. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So today, the title of this morning's message is Experiencing Breakthrough. To seek, to beseech him. Let me see what else we're going to have. To seek him. To shake or to stir up or to break. Shake and break. I have that up there, but I have something else in my heart. And the Lord says, to seek him, to shake, to saturate, and to share. Amen. but it's still going to be to beseech, to break, to baptize, and to broadcast. Okay? Hallelujah. It's all the same line. So can we lift our word together and let's come into agreement here? Can you agree with me and say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. I'm listening. My heart is open. My ears are attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Father, I thank you, Father God. I thank you for your word, and I'm grateful that you sent it here to accomplish something in every heart and every life of each individual that's in this room. Holy Spirit, I ask you, Father God, to speak to me. May the words that proceed out of this mouth bring glory to you. May it bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the hearers in the room. Father God, may you be glorified and magnified in each and every word that's spoken. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory. You'll receive all the honor because you have a purpose in this day. You have a plan for everyone in the room. So, Lord, we just say, have your way. And this is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, when I was looking about seeking the Lord, it says, and when they had prayed. Now, recognize that so many times when you're looking at corporate prayer or coming together in unity in prayer, there's always, the adversary is always trying to keep adversity or going in separate directions because the adversary does not want to see us walking in unity and because there's power and agreement. But this company of believers, they sought the Lord. And I was reminded to beseech him. That word beseech comes from the Greek word parakaleo, and it means to entreat or to implore. And we're not beggars. We don't have to beg God for anything. God didn't call us to be beggars. We're children of God. He wants us to declare and decree everything that he has given us and spoken to us. So look with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It's a familiar scripture, but the Lord wants us to look there a moment. To realize and to recognize that who the Lord is looking to stand in agreement and pray. The chronicler writes in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he said, if my people who are called according to my name, that means his children, that means the children of God, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their own wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. So many times we're praying for God to heal our land, but God wants to heal us first. Hello? When he's speaking this, he's speaking to the children of God. He says, in other words, I can't give somebody something I don't have. In other words, he wants us to be in a place of receptivity. You know, Peter and John, they had already been filled with the Holy Ghost, but if you could see them in the natural, they leaked. Hello? It wasn't just this one-time event, and then it was all done. The Lord says in his word, if we abide in him and his words abide in us, we can ask what we will and it will be done. Amen? So when I was looking at that, he reminded me of Matthew chapter 8 of the Roman centurion that came to Jesus. And you look at Matthew 8, verse number 5. He said, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. The same way that we seek him when we pray. imploring and entreating him. That comes from the same parakaleo, which means to entreat or to implore. That the Roman centurion was actually coming to Jesus. And every time we go to the throne room of God, we come to Jesus. Through Jesus. By Jesus. Hallelujah. And this Roman centurion saying, Lord, my servant lieth sick with the palsy, grievously tormented, and that Jesus saith to him, I will come and heal him. In other words, he asked and he was about to receive. He sought and he's going to find. He knocked and the door was going to be opened. And when he's seeking him and he's beseeching him and he's seeking the Lord, and he says to the Jesus, and I'm just going to paraphrase, he says, Jesus, my house is not worthy for you to come under the roof in. But I'm a man of authority. When I tell my soldiers to go, they go. When I tell them to come, they come. If I tell them to do this or do that, they do it. And I recognize you as a man of authority. I believe all you have to do is give the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus responded and said, I have not seen such great faith, no, not in all of Israel. And that same time, that servant was healed. In other words, when we come together beseeching him, when that Roman centurion was coming to Jesus, he was coming to Jesus and recognizing that Jesus was the only answer. He was the only answer. There wasn't another avenue. There wasn't another road. There wasn't another way that he could go. That Jesus was the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. Hallelujah. And in Mark chapter 1, we find there was a leper that came to Jesus. In Mark 1, verse number 40. He says, and there came a leper to him doing what? Beseeching him. Parakaleo. Seeking. Imploring. Entreating. And the same fashion as when you pray. He's coming straight to Jesus. And he says, he beseeches him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. Make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. He said, if my people were called according to my name, would humble themselves, seek my face and pray. And when the Lord was speaking to me about it, he wants you to hear this. Just because we're in Christ Jesus, it didn't remove getting to our knees. Just because we're in Christ Jesus, it didn't remove getting to our knees in prayer. He says to humble ourselves. I'm bowing down before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm bowing down before a mighty and a holy God. I'm getting on my knees before him, beseeching him and speaking and declaring and praising him in the meantime. And in other words, sometimes we feel, well, I'm in Christ Jesus and I don't have to bow anymore. It's been done at the cross of Calvary. Well, that's not true. That leper beseeched him, parakaleo. He came in to Jesus and he bowed his knee, recognizing who he was. Heaven and earth adore him. Angels bow before him. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. And when I was looking at that, the Lord took me to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14. The Apostle Paul, he's praying for the church at Ephesus. And the apostle says this, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the rich of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit and the inner man. You know, when they came to seeking the Lord, and when they all prayed, they were beseeching him, they were parakaleo, they were imploring, they were entreating Jesus. and treating God. The Bible says that the place was shaken where they were assembled together. You know, when you look at that word shaken, it comes from the Greek word seluo. Seluo, it's spelled S-E-L-E-U-O, but it's pronounced seluo. Seluo. And seluo means to stir up. In other words, God was shaking the place. God was stirring things up. And God desires to shake us up. You see, when God shakes us, I'll call it, you know, sometimes people cheat on making chicken and they use shake and bake. I call that cheater chicken. They use shake and bake. When the Holy Spirit moves and stirs, it's called shake and break. When the Holy Spirit comes in to stir things up, there's things that break off. What was going to break off of Peter and John and their company? Fear. Because God did not give them the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. And God wants to break things off of us. He doesn't want us to end up shaking and baking. He wants us to shake and break so we won't have to shake and bake. That's kind of corny. Hallelujah. So look with me in Acts chapter 16. We're looking at the shake and break. Verse number 25. The Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas did what? They prayed and they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Let me say this to you. These guys have been whipped. They're putting the stocks in the middle of the prison. And I'm sure that, of course, in their physical body, they weren't feeling like praising. Come on now. They were just beat and put in shackles together in the middle of a prison cell. And the Bible says that at midnight, they prayed and sang praises. What the Lord said earlier today, let me say this to you. When you don't feel like praying and you offer up a sacrifice of praise, those words of praise that come out of your mouth, they get in your heart, out of your mouth, out of the abundance of your heart, they get in your heart, and all of a sudden the atmosphere around you begins to change. All of a sudden, Paul and Silas, they beseech the Lord, they prayed and they sang praises, and verse number 26, it said, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. In other words, when we pray and the Holy Ghost comes, the Bible says that when they prayed, the place that they were assembled together was shaken. In other words, there were some things that were shaken off. There were shackles that were shaken off their hands. Everyone's prison door was open. Everyone was freed in this atmosphere. He says, and they all, he wants you to know that's inclusive. So that when we pray and we believe God, the place is shaken. God wants to shake some things off. God wants to break some chains that have you bound. God wants to open some prison doors. God wants to set the captives free. God wants to deliver the bound. He wants to open the eyes of the blind. He wants to open the ears of the deaf. Amen. God's come to give us the fullness. And he says this. He says to us in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Verse 27. And the word of God says, in this word, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken remain. In other words, when the Spirit of God starts shaking things, certain things are going to fall off, but what's not supposed to fall off isn't going to fall off. I don't know about you, but if I was full of dust, I might shake off a little bit. I'm not saying when they came in, the Bible doesn't say when the Holy Ghost came in, the place was shaken. He didn't say they were all shaken. I'm not saying that. He says the place was stirred up where they were assembled. In other words, there was an atmosphere for some things to fall. And there were some things to fall. Remember what they're dealing with. They're dealing with threatenings. They're dealing with imprisonment. They're dealing with persecution. You know, for the word of God. Amen? And all of a sudden, there's something that comes. And he says in verse number 28, wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for God is a consuming fire. You know, God doesn't send his fire to consume us, but he sends his fire to consume the chaff. This consume those things that we've picked up. We live in a wicked world. Right now is the wickedest time of the year. This is the wickedest time of the year. There's all kinds of people that are in disguise and they're worshiping the harvest and they don't even recognize they're worshiping the demons in darkness of this world. And they don't even recognize it because they're deceived. Because the adversary is the artist of deception. And you find at this time of the year there's more celebrations of harvest and they don't have anything to do with the harvest that God has provided for the farmer. Hallelujah. That isn't the harvest they're celebrating. Amen. They're celebrating darkness. But they don't recognize it. Because their eyes have been blinded. Amen. And that's what God said. God's a consuming fire. He wants to consume those things. Amen. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse number one, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica. He says, now we beseech you. There goes that word again. Now the Apostle Paul is beseeching or imploring or entreating. It comes from the same Greek word, parakaleo. He's imploring or entreating the brethren by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. You know, God desires for you and I, his children, to live each day as though it was the last day. So when he's saying to his children, and God is speaking to his children, saying, we are in the last days. He didn't say we were in the last day. He said, now that we're in the last days, that we're to treat every day as it's the last day. If you knew Jesus was returning at noon today, what would you be doing differently now? No man knows the time or the hour that the Father's going to return. But if you knew the time and the hour, if he was going to come at noon, what would you be doing differently? What would change? You'd be out there waiting on him. Hallelujah. Watching him. You know, he says, hey, to seek him. He says, and when they prayed, they, all of them, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all, and they were, it doesn't say all, and they were, they, I'll use they, as the inclusive word, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So, you know, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. in Acts 1:8. So Jesus is speaking to this, and this power is to be a witness. It's Holy Ghost power. And they received, they're all filled with the Holy Ghost. Look with me in Acts chapter 11. Verse number 16. When I look at this and I'm looking at it here, I have to baptize. I believe that I said this, to seek, to shake, and to saturate. I believe being immersed in the Spirit, they were filled. Now, if you were saturated, or if you took a garment, if you took a garment and you saturated it with water, or if you saturated it with any type of liquid, and you squeezed the garment, what would come out of the garment? Whatever it was saturated with, right? And that's what the Father is saying to his disciples. He is saying, if you're saturated with the Spirit, when you face adversity, what's going to come out is the Spirit. What's going to come out is what you're saturated with. You hear what I'm saying? So when I'm saying, and I use the word baptized, if you're baptized, you're immersed in the water. You're overwhelmed with the water of God. And God wants you and I to understand that these guys were once baptized in the Holy Ghost, but they're being refilled. They're being refilled because it isn't a one-time event. Some people think, well, I was baptized in the Spirit in 1986. Well, if you haven't been rebaptized or refilled, you're just a dry vessel. Hello? Yes. But he says in Acts chapter 11, verse number 16, here's Peter saying this. He said, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, Jesus indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You're going to be immersed. You're going to be saturated with the Spirit of God. And when I was thinking about that, and they were all filled, and they had been filled before, and they were all refilled. And it reminded me of where Jesus, where the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5:18. Paul said this, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now when I look at that, if I'm drunk with wine, I'm going to act like a wino. If I'm drunk with wine, I'm going to be belligerent. I might even be a little woozy. I might stumble and I might slur. Can you give me a drink? I don't know. But what he is saying that whatever we're under the influence of is what's manifesting. And the Apostle Paul is saying this, so they get a revelation and they get an understanding. He says, you don't have to look very far. Look at that wino over there. Be not drunk like he is, but be filled with the Spirit. And in other words, the same effect that the wine had on the wino, the Spirit can have on you and I. There's not many winos that are sad when they're intoxicated. They get sad when they don't have their intoxication. In other words, God says, as we're intoxicated, now all of a sudden, the joy of the Lord is our strength. All of a sudden, the fruit of the Spirit, joy, love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith start flowing out of the well that's within us, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. You know, he didn't say that, just some of them, he says, hey, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they all were filled with the Spirit, and what did he say they did? They spake the word of God with boldness. To share or to broadcast. Amen. So look with me and where do I want to go? Let's go to Acts chapter 13. When Jesus in Matthew 28, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Now go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all these things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. Jesus had gave them a command. He says, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power on high. And this power was to be bold. We can boldly go where no man has gone before. And we're not talking about Star Trek. Amen. We're talking about kingdom-mindedness. Amen. We're talking about sharing the good news of the gospel. The word of God says in Acts 13:49, he says, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. In other words, all of a sudden it was broadcasted. Amen? When we're looking at sharing the love of Jesus, we shouldn't be afraid to tell people about Jesus. Listen to me. Oh, that's okay. She's fine. I was going to say, Father, I'm listening. I don't get it. What are you trying to say? I didn't know if I was supposed to go to a different rhythm. The room's being shaken. Did y'all hear the noise? Sound effects come. No, but we're not to be afraid. Come on, church, listen. We should never have fear sharing Jesus. We're sharing the gospel. And when we recognize and realize the truth, if they don't receive it, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him. Amen? Amen. These guys, they knew they were going to face adversity, but by the Holy Ghost, they had power to go ahead and speak the word anyway. And because they spoke the word anyway, you are here today. Because if they didn't speak the word anyway, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. Amen? So, look with me in Mark chapter 5. In Mark 5, we find the account of the demoniac of the Gadarenes. This was one crazy dude. Okay, he was kind of crazy. I mean, he cut himself. He hung out in the fire. he said all kinds of crazy things. But when he had an encounter with Jesus, everything changed. That's the transforming power of Jesus. Everything changed. And when I look at the account there in Mark chapter 5, verse number 20, it says, and even after he came to his right mind, it says, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Why? Because before, he was that crazy dude. Before, he was that old wino. Before, he was that person that was bound. Before, you know, they knew him like he was, but now there's a transformation before him. They're seeing the difference. And all of a sudden now he's bringing all the glory to God. And he's sharing the good news of the gospel. He's letting everybody in the compass know. He said, man, I was one crazy dude, but I met Jesus. And you're kind of crazy too, and he wants to meet you too. Hello? How many know that I know when I was crazy, I hung out with crazy people. Oh, that's just me? No one else here? Hello? What is it? What is the old saying? Birds of a feather flock together? They fly together? Thank you for correcting me. I appreciate that. Jesus said this in Mark 16, verse 50, he said, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. In my name you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall take up serpents. And you can drink any deadly thing and it will not harm you. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. What was that from? It was from being assembled together and the place being shaken and being filled with the Holy Ghost, and it began to speak the word of God with boldness. In other words, when you speak the word of God with boldness, you believe the word's going to do what it says it's going to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's some good preaching, whether y'all know it or not. Hallelujah. So turn with me to Acts chapter 19 in closing. Verse number 20. So in closing today, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Hallelujah. So in closing today, what is the Father saying to you and I? He's saying simply one, amen, as we seek him. As we seek him, as we seek him together, he's come to shake. He's here to shake things off. Anything that's holding us back, anything that's keeping us back from what God has called us to do. He's here to saturate us with his spirit so that we can share with others the mercy and the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says this. He says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe unless they hear? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they've been sent? God sent me here today to speak to you. You say, well, Pastor, you're here every week. Yeah? But he has a word. The word that he's speaking today and the word that is spoken today is, hey, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you do not know him, he's here. He's knocking on your heart's door. If you open the door, he will come in. But I believe foremost what the Lord wants to do and what the Lord said, and asked me just to pose this question to you today. Are you willing to be shaken? Are you willing to be shaken? Let's all stand and we're just going to let the Lord do his work.